Court is ready to hear argument in 050311 in re Auto Nation, Inc.
May I please the court to present argument for the later.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. This case involves the enforcement of form selection clauses in covenants not to compete that were signed by real party in interest Derek Hatfield with Auto Nation. As this court has recently held in three cases, enforcement of form selection clauses is mandatory unless there is a strong and clear showing that enforcement of the clause is both unreasonable and unjust or is invalid because of fraud or overreaching. Derek Hatfield claims that there is no fraud or overreaching, but simply that they are unreasonable because enforcing them would violate the public policy of Texas. And so the issue is, did the trial court commit a clear abuse of discretion in denying Auto Nation's motion to dismiss on the form selection clauses? Those clauses are mandatory, they're exclusive. It's unambiguous that Florida shall be the jurisdiction at which these contracts are litigated. And these contracts, of course, involve protecting confidential information of Auto Nation, which he received in consideration of his employment, not soliciting employees in contravention of Auto Nation, and of course, not competing. And he violated these clauses. He did compete and admits that he did compete. Now,
does application of other states' laws governing covenants not to compete violate Texas public policy?
The application of other states' laws regarding covenants not to compete.
For Texas employees.
This court has held in DeSantis that Texas law has to apply.
And it would violate public policy.
Yes, Texas law does not apply. But the issue here, and
I'm leading to my next question.
Yes, John.
Then why would it not be fit under the unjust exception for forum selection clauses? Because if the Florida court is going to apply Florida law, then why is that not unjust?
That's the issue. The issue is not, though, choice of law. The issue is where will the parties litigate. Different policy reasons, Your Honors.
Now, I understand that difference.
Yes.
But if the forum selection clause results in being in a forum that will apply its own law rather than Texas law, my understanding of your argument is the forum selection clause is valid to require and go into Florida to litigate this. But Texas law, as a matter of public policy, as we said in DeSantis, would apply in the Florida court, right?
Yes.
But if the Florida court has indicated it will not apply Texas law, presume that with me, then why would it not be unjust then to require them to go to Florida?
That presumes that Florida will apply Florida law.
All right,
is that not a legal given?
If that presumption is valid, that the Florida court will apply Florida law, then you'd agree the Court of Appeals was correct here, or the result was correct.
Well, not entirely. Here's what I want to get into also. The statute in the Business Commerce Code is now effective and supplants the common law of Texas. And the statute governs. And this court in Leiden and afterward has applied the statute. And so whether or not the same public policy issue stated in DeSantis would apply, I think is still maybe up in the air and maybe want to be revisited or decided by this court. But as DeSantis says, that if that holding stands, then application of any other law would contravene.
No, it doesn't say that. It says our application of any other law would contravene public policy. Our public policy.
Yes.
Doesn't say we got to go out around the country and stop everybody else from applying Florida law.
Well, and that's our point. If we get into where Texas or any other state gets into the practice of weighing the merits of the laws of other states, then that will affect, if not undermine, our system of federal sovereign states, the interstate judicial system, I think, is something that is potentially at risk here. Because can't Texas go and say, well, we're going to decide, we're going to try to figure out what Florida would do if litigated there, and if we don't like that, or if we think that's going to violate our policy, then we are not going to enforce the clause. We're not going to allow a suit even that's already timely and properly filed in Florida to go forward. That gets into, I think, a very dangerous practice. Other states can do that to Texas. The whole system, I think, could eventually, if we get there, collapse. And we have to give deference to an equal sovereign, Florida, to allow them to decide. It's just where are we going to litigate? And nothing in the statute, in the non-compete, Companies Not Compete Act, in the business code, has a venue clause. And that's where the states have looked at to see if enforcing a form selection clause would in fact violate the Bremen public policy exception, which I'm not sure if this court has frankly adopted it, but assuming it has, those instances, there are 20 cases, Your Honors, and they all deal with a state statute says venue has to be here. Or a state statute says we won't accept form selection clauses. A state statute says we will not divide lawsuits, so a form selection clause that splits a case would violate public policy. Cases that say bankruptcy court law is important, it protects creditors, so we're not going to allow a form selection clause to litigate this creditor's right over here. It has to be in the bankruptcy court. Those are the instances, Your Honors, in which the Bremen public policy exception has been applied. But this court in the Michiana case recently said that they will be enforced unless they are fair, unfair, and unreasonable. And the Restatement Second of Conflicts of Laws, Section 80, has a different analysis than Restatement Second 187 and 88 on conflicts of laws, which the court, of course, went through in DeSantis. The comment to Restatement Second 80 of conflict said that forced selection clauses are for the benefit and convenience of the parties, unless there is fraud and overreaching, and unless the form is seriously convenient, as quoted in the comment, then they will be enforced. And we believe that that analysis of the Restatement 80 governs the form selection clauses, not all the policy considerations that govern a choice of law, because choice of law obviously is different.
DeSantis said that the enforcement of non-compete arrangements is not just a policy in Texas, but a fundamental policy in Texas. Does that change your analysis?
No, Your Honor, it does not.
Even though In Re IOU said that one of the exceptions to enforcement of the form selection clause is if the enforcement would contravene a strong public policy of the form.
Yes, if the court adopts the Bremen, that is an exception. But our position is, Your Honor, is that the statement of fundamental policy in DeSantis dealt with restraint of trade and applying Texas law. The question is, can the parties freely contract to litigate a contract outside of Texas? It's the locus, the place of litigation. So I think it's a different argument, Justice Rainwhite, on where you litigate as opposed to the substance of the choice of law issue.
Would you take me through how that plays out? So you would say forum selection clause requires that they go to Florida and wait and see what the Florida court does. And let's say the Florida court applies Florida law, and let's presume it conflicts with ours. I don't know that, but I understand. Everybody says we don't really know that, but let's presume that they apply Florida law that's different from ours. Goes up to appeal, goes up to their highest court. They say we're going to enforce this covenant not to compete, restraining order. Now, what happens to the deck action?
In Texas? Well, we think at that point in time, the deck action should have been dismissed. What's going to happen is that if AutoNation were to prevail under your hypothetical, it would have to take that judgment and then bring it to Texas and seek to enforce it under Texas laws of enforcing judgment. And at that point in time, then depending upon the decision, depending upon what was decided, or maybe perhaps even how it was decided, then Texas court, which would have to then enforce the judgment, could then look at that. There is a public policy exception to the full faith and credit clause, as the Supreme Court recognized in Pacific Insurance in 1939, and perhaps that's when, if in fact we get all of that way, then look at that. What we're saying is that the position of the respondent's holding and the position of reporting interest is we cut out all those steps. We cut out all those steps and immediately say you can't even go and litigate, even though sophisticated business people have decided that's where it is to be for all the policy or all the proper reasons that the U.S. Supreme Court and Carmel Lines has said, certainly related to the business AutoNation has dealerships all around. Let them do that there.
So as a practical matter, if the Florida court issued a restraining order, they'd have to get that acknowledged in Texas? They'd have to domesticate that restraining order in order to have it enforceable?
I believe so, Your Honor. An injunction, in fact, actually there are cases that by this court that injunctions are not judgments that even the full faith and credit clause can apply. So if there was a judgment on the merits that's enforceable, I believe it has to be domesticated to be enforced.
I'm talking about a temporary injunction. Can you domesticate a temporary injunction?
I think
because that's where the damage lies, is temporarily. Yes. By the time it goes up 3-4 years and you get to the domestication of a final judgment, mm-hmm. you've been restrained 4 years. In the interim, the covenant's expired. It sort of moots the entire process.
Yes.
So if you don't have any mechanism to get jurisdictional enforcement in Texas of the temporary injunction, then...
Well, we would certainly argue that the Texas court should domesticate and enforce the injunction, but it has to be done here. Florida can't, we believe, Florida can't say and enforce the judgment without it being domesticated here. So I think that's another step, to come to Texas and enforce the judgment. And again, there are cases that say that the full faith and credit clause doesn't apply to interlocutory orders such as injunctions.
So you'd say whatever happens in Florida is not going to bind him in any event for the next 4 or 5 years as this works its way through the system?
Possibly could not.
Actually, Hatfield's non-compete expires next February, doesn't it?
Actually, Your Honor, it already has expired.
It has expired already.
It expired February of this year.
This year.
And as far as we know, and the court did ask for an update of a Florida proceeding, that as far as we understand, and certainly counsel can clarify, that he is at work, and that there is an injunction in place in Florida on the separate and independent ground of not misappropriating trade secrets, confidential information, and soliciting employees, which the court found that he had and has ordered him to return.
But in your view, he's not bound by that because it's not domesticated here. And if it violated public policy, whenever that issue might come up, then it would bind him.
I think so. It's a Florida court asking him to do that, and so to the extent that he complies with that, he has.
Well, for a temporary injunction this issue, if there's personal jurisdiction of the individual, then there could be a for-cause hearing on contempt, and there are actions that could be taken against the individual in the Florida court as to the Florida proceeding or Florida interests of that individual. There are lots of things that could happen in the Florida court as to Hatfield rather than, without having to domesticate a temporary injunction. I'm not sure what that actually means, but there are lots of things that could happen to Hatfield short of that.
Yes. The court, to be frank, the Florida court did find personal jurisdiction over Mr. Hatfield. That was the first issue that was appealed, as we advised the court, of the status of the Florida action. They found personal jurisdiction, it was affirmed, and then there was the injunction. That was appealed to the Florida Court of Appeals, and that was also affirmed, and that's the status. We don't know if there was any attempt to go up to the Florida Supreme Court.
AutoNation versus Hankins, Florida Supreme Court opinion.
Yes, Your Honor.
Does that or does that not make it pretty clear that Florida courts will apply Florida law in this case?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
Why not?
First of all, it's a trial court unpublished memorandum opinion by a judge who is no longer sitting in this court. And it's not binding. And getting into whether or not we can predict, because one judge who's no longer on the bench held this way, we don't know what the parties argued. We don't know the evidence. We don't know what can be done here. And so whether a certain judge will follow his predecessor, we don't know. So I don't think that that's dispositive or an indication of what may happen. The parties have a right to litigate there and then make their arguments in this case and see what this new judge decides.
Well, nothing's certain in the law, but you don't think the precepts in that case give a pretty good indication of where Florida courts are going to go?
Your Honor, I think when we get into a guessing game of whether Florida law is going to apply an unpublished decision or what it's going to do, I think that gets into that slope of getting into the business of the sovereign states. And I don't think that unpublished decision, which is the only one I know of that addresses this issue that they have cited, should make a determination.
In the briefs, it has a South Second site, 761 South Second 306.
Hankins. Yes.
And I haven't pulled it yet, but it says it's a Florida Supreme Court case.
The Hankins is a Florida Supreme Court case?
AutoNation versus Hankins.
Okay. The opinion that we've been looking at is the memorandum opinion of the trial court, but I don't know that is a Supreme Court. I don't think there's a Florida Supreme Court holding on this very issue on these clauses, Your Honor. We'll certainly make sure that's clarified.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Frazier. The court is now ready to hear argument from the real party.
May it please the court, Mr. Wallace, will present argument to the real party.
May it please the court, there are two reasons why the petition for writ of mandamus should be denied in this case. But before turning my focus to the argument, I'd like to address a couple of the questions that were just asked. Justice Wainwright, I think the case that you were asking about out of the Florida Supreme Court is Mazzoni Farms, which is the Florida Supreme Court's most recent pronouncement on conflict of laws. It was the principles of Mazzoni Farms that are applied in the Hankins case in Florida that had the Florida court rejecting application of DeSantis in a case brought there against a Texas general manager, which is exactly the same situation that we would have here. Now, there are two reasons why we know that Florida law would apply if the non-compete had to be litigated there. And just by way of clarification, other parts of the case are being litigated in Florida. Other aspects of the contract are governed by Florida law per the party's agreement. The only difference here stems from DeSantis versus Wackenhut and this court's determination as part of its conflict of laws analysis that with respect to Texas employees working in Texas, the fundamental policy here that those non-competes be regulated under Texas law. And that is the only piece of the case that the trial court kept here.
But we didn't say that Florida has to apply Texas law.
Well, you did not say that Florida has to apply Texas law. But what this court has said in other contexts, talking about forum selection clauses, is that their application are subordinated to the public policy of the state. So we enforce them.
What's the difference? And why does the employers all want to be in Florida law and employees all want to be in Texas law? What's so bad about our law?
I don't know that that's true. I think it's a coincidence.
There's no difference. Why are we doing this?
Well, actually, there is a difference between Florida law and Texas law. I think in this context,
we're hostile to them, and they're
less hostile.
Right.
But according to DeSantis, when determining choice of law here, we don't consider what the outcome is going to be. And we took pains in our briefing to point out that that's not the concern here. The concern is that when assessing whether a forum selection clause should be enforced, the exception is when a public policy of this state would be subverted. So the default position is we respect them.
Well, but we can't have a situation where you go find a state who thinks its public policy is such that something shouldn't be enforced and then bring a lawsuit to try to stop everybody from suing in some state in which it could be enforced.
Well, I don't think that would have been an issue, but for the fact that they are in the other state attempting to enforce the non-compete.
Not to mention the fact that your guy signed a contract saying, I'll be happy to do it there.
That's right.
I mean, the whole thing that bothers me about non-competes is we've got somebody who signed something in writing saying, I won't compete for 2 years, and then when they quit, they change their mind. Now, this is even worse. If when I quit, I won't compete, and if we have any disputes, I'll do it in Florida, and I change my mind on that, too. Now, the whole deal of this is equity. In what possible way is this equitable for Texas courts to
tell two grown-ups, both with a lot of money, you can't do this in Florida?
Well, the reason is because of this court's opinion
because
in DeSantis.
Because DeSantis. So DeSantis is the source of inequity, is it not?
I don't think it's the source of inequity. Because.
But your whole equitable argument is because y'all said so. There is no equity. There's just law.
I think that's often a good argument to say that the Supreme Court is directed.
Well, I agree with that. I just want to make it clear. Your argument is solely legal. There is no equitable argument. This is a good idea. We should do this despite all the parties' arguments here in Texas.
I would disagree with you because of what DeSantis says. DeSantis takes pains to balance the competing interests. Texas is not always going to apply Texas law to non-compete agreements. Texas is going to undertake the interest analysis that is set out in DeSantis and is going to look at which state has a greater relationship to the transaction, which state has a greater interest in the outcome, and does that state have a fundamental policy like our state does? And using those...
We don't want Texas people starving and going on the dole.
Well, the Texas policy is, and I will just quote from DeSantis, at stake here is whether a Texas resident can leave one Texas job, to start a competing business in Texas. Thus, Texas is directly interested in DeSantis as an employee in the state, in Wackenhut as a national employer doing business in the state, in RDI as a new competitive business being formed in the state, and in consumers of the services furnished in Texas by Wackenhut and RDI and performed by DeSantis.
The question is, couldn't we wait for the Florida court and see if the Florida court ever said you can't go to work at another Texas job and then decide to apply Texas public policy?
No, and for two reasons. Number one, it would be too late. And number two, they're going to sue to seek not just some type of injunctive relief, but damages for the breach. And by the time there's a judgment in that case, this court, these courts in Texas, would be required to give full faith and credit to that judgment. So Hatfield could end up subjected to $1 million judgment in Florida for having violated a contract that this court would say, could say, and we think would say, is unenforceable. So the proper procedure, and this is why the trial court did not abuse its discretion, is that he looked to all the signposts that are out there. DeSantis, Holman versus the National Business Institute, which is the exact same situation as this case with one exception. Holman failed to show what was going to happen in Georgia. He didn't even brief the issue, and so the Court of Appeals was left with no basis to conclude that Georgia would refuse to apply Texas law.
If the issue had been briefed in that case, could the trial judge still have gone the way he did?
I think it depends on what Georgia law is, and I haven't looked at that. But I think...
I'm just wondering about when you say abuse of discretion, does that mean the trial judge can just go either way?
I think the answer to your question is yes, the trial judge might have exercised his discretion to send it to Georgia anyway.
So if this trial judge had ruled against you, you'd just be out of luck.
I think we may have been in the same situation as Holman, except the argument is better if one can show a subversion of public policy. But I think under the case law, the decision of whether to uphold a form selection clause is ultimately discretionary. So as long as the court considers what the guideposts are and says, well, I'm going to make a judgment call this way or that way, it probably is unassailable. For that reason, Judge Burke did not abuse his discretion. I'd like to wrap back to one other point with respect to what Florida is going to do. And we submitted this morning a one-page exhibit that quoted just the governing law provisions from the three contracts that are issued here. And what all of these agreements say is that the contracts will be governed according to Florida law without regard to its principles of conflict of laws. Now, let's put aside Mazzoni Farms out of the Florida Supreme Court, which I think says they're going to use Florida law anyway. If they had an equivalent case like DeSantis, which says we're going to do an interest analysis, we're going to look at which state has the most important relationship to this and do they have a public policy, these contracts foreclose the Florida courts even from considering Florida conflict of laws analyses. So what ends up happening in this case is that the choice of forum clause is effectively a choice of law clause, because once it's in Florida, Florida law will apply, and there is no getting out of that by Garrett Hatfield.
So you think in enforcing any forum selection clause, the forum court has to look at the selected forum law, substantive law, or maybe procedural law, and see how the case is going to come out and see if that's unjust?
No, I disagree with that for two reasons. One, I think most of the time that there's a forum selection clause, there's not going to be an important state public policy involved.
Well, on what basis do you think that?
I would look to In Re AIU, which is one of the recent cases that this court decided on forum selection clauses. There,
nobody argued in AIU that we should look at the substantive law and see how the case was going to come out.
Well, and nor are we. We're not looking at this.
We were talking about how Florida was going to decide this.
I think, and we briefed this below when we moved for summary judgment, but it's not a relevant factor, according to DeSantis, to determining whether Texas law ought to apply to this dispute. That's my point, is that whether or not Texas law applies to a non-compete involving a Texas citizen who works in Texas for an out-of-state employer or an out-of-state business like AutoNation, you don't consider what the outcome is going to be because it is a question of public policy. Our law could be less favorable to Garrett Hatfield. Our law could be more favorable to Garrett Hatfield. But as a matter of policy, this state believes that its imperative is to apply Texas law to that contract.
But we don't think, maybe we don't think, I guess we'll see, that every other state in the United States ought to apply Texas law.
That's right. We don't think that.
We think that they should make up their own mind.
Because, exactly right. And in DeSantis, the court had a lengthy footnote citing all of the other jurisdictions that tend to choose their own law when it comes to interpreting non-competes. And the reason is that in most states, it is a fundamental policy. So when you go through the DeSantis interest analysis, you reach the conclusion that our state's law in most situations should apply. But here's a situation where it wouldn't. Suppose it were a Texas business with a contract just like the ones in this case, but they employ citizens of Wisconsin working in Wisconsin. If that Texas business files suit in Harris County seeking to enforce the non-competes, the DeSantis interest analysis is going to look at, number one, which state has a more important relationship to the transaction? Wisconsin. Which state has a more important interest in the outcome? Wisconsin. Does Wisconsin have a fundamental public policy where they would choose their law in a similar situation? The answer is yes, and the court in Harris County would, under DeSantis, be required to apply the other state's law. So we don't always insist that Texas law apply. In this case, long-term Texas employee working in Texas law must apply, and we know that from DeSantis because it's not distinguishable in any way. One point that counsel made was the amendments to the Business and Commerce Code, and I have two responses to that. One is that those amendments were effective when DeSantis was decided. DeSantis deferred considering whether the retroactivity provision in the Business and Commerce Code had any effect on the contract there, and it didn't, because the court found that it would be unenforceable under either the old standard or the new standard, and therefore really didn't have to decide which one definitively applied. But the other reason why that is really a red herring is that when the legislature said in the amendments that this is the exclusive source of law with respect to non-compete agreements, that was really underscoring what DeSantis said, which is that this state has a very significant interest in uniform application of non-compete law. The legislature put an exclamation point on that when they said this is going to be the only source of law with respect to non-competes in Texas. And Garrett Hatfield only worked for them in Texas. He only worked at car dealerships in the Houston area that were affiliated with AutoNation, and he had no connection to Florida. And Florida has no interest in the outcome here, and as a result, it just highlights the point of one of those prongs of the DeSantis analysis.
Why did he agree to litigate in Florida then?
Judge, that is not in the record, and I don't think that it's relevant for the following reason, which is under DeSantis, it says two things about public policy. One is that the state certainly has a public policy regarding freedom to contract. But number two, this is a limited party autonomy state. There are some types of agreements that people cannot enter into. We can't enter into a contract to do something illegal. And we cannot, according to DeSantis, enter into a contract to have another state's law apply to a Garrick Hatfield's employment, non-compete agreement, arising out of his employment in Texas. So
so it's not just public policy. It's the same as illegal.
Well,
it would just be illegal for people to agree to abide by Florida law.
I would say it's unenforceable. I don't think illegal is the right word. What I do think is that there are some types of agreements that simply cannot be enforced, and these arise in the law in various contexts. One of them is in the context of non-compete agreements.
Usually on the things when we say, look, usually it's a free country. People can contract for whatever they want. If it's against the law, they can't do it. Non-competes are not against the law. So again, the only reason this is against the law is because of DeSantis.
The only reason that it shouldn't be enforced in this context is because to do so would undermine Texas public policy, a strong and fundamental public policy. Strong was the word used in Bremen and in Re AIU.
Well, you're saying it's strong because the legislature said so. Some think the legislature said that strongly because they were sending a message to this court, not to other states, because this court was repeatedly striking down covenants non-compete.
But
are you sure that the legislature's intent was we demand that only Texas law applies to employment contracts in Texas?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in the first part of DeSantis, where the court goes through the analysis of which state's law should apply, there's an extensive description of why this is important to Texas to have uniform application of the laws. When the legislature said, here's what the rules are going to be, and these rules are going to be exclusive, I think that simply underscored that first part of DeSantis, which is the conflict of law fundamental policy question.
Now, I think you're saying this is a voidable contract, and that's because this language that you emphasize to us without regard to its principles of conflicts of laws?
What I think that means is if this case were litigated in Florida, if the non-compete were being assessed in Florida, AutoNation would argue, just as they did in Hankins, that Florida law should apply. They would argue, just as they did in the companion case before the anti-suit injunction was issued, that Florida law should apply. And if we were to argue that Florida law shouldn't apply because of conflict of laws principles, they would hold up the contract language and say, as a matter of contract law, Florida court, you cannot consider conflict of law principles. Florida law must apply without regard to conflict of law.
But not for that language, this would be an enforceable form clause?
No, I don't think so, because if you look at Mazzoni Farms, Florida conflict of law analysis simply looks at whether the choice of law is offensive to Florida public policy. They don't run through a DeSantis-type analysis.
Does the length of time your client was employed and duration, does that have any impact on this case?
I think it does, and in a favorable way to the DeSantis rule. But that gets into the question of substance. I think if Hatfield had only worked for AutoNation for a couple of days in Texas, which is the case in an unpublished opinion that was included by the relator in the record, a case out of the Northern District of Texas called Whitlock versus AutoNation. Whitlock had moved here from out of state. He'd worked for AutoNation or one of their dealerships in another state, moved here to take a competing job that fell somehow within his non-compete, and the court dismissed it and enforce the form selection clause, but part of the logic was you've only been here in Texas for a couple of days. We don't have that issue with Hatfield. He's lived here for about 20 years. He worked in the car industry in Houston for, I don't know the exact number, but a number of years, and he'd worked for AutoNation affiliated dealerships for several years. So to the extent that's a relevant criteria with respect to determining the fundamental policy question, there is every reason to believe that DeSantis looks favorably upon the choice of law question for Hatfield and unfavorably upon AutoNation's position.
Would you explain to me again why it wouldn't work to let it go through the Florida system and then at the domestication in Texas stage, Texas can then evaluate whether it violates public policy here?
Because when they have their judgment, that's going to follow him around forever. And as long as it's not offensive to Florida law, it will be unassailable by appeal there. They will have a determination, perhaps, that he breached a contract. Now, he didn't go to compete during the term. But if there is a determination by a Florida court that he breached the contract and he owes them money, what happens when he moves to Florida when he breached a contract that is frankly not breachable in Texas because it's not enforceable in Texas?
But I presume he wouldn't move to Florida if that were the case. And two, he agreed to that in his contract that Florida law would apply. So I can see how he might say, you can't enforce it against me in Texas, but I did agree that it would be enforceable in Florida. And you may not be able to domesticate it and prevent me from working.
Well, it does prevent him from working, and it did prevent him from working. He did not go to work for the competing dealership for the full year-long period as a result of the uncertainty wrought by this litigation. They got the unenforceable non-compete by default by virtue of threatening him with that judgment. Now, I can't tell you right now that they won't create some case and try to prove to the court in Florida that he nonetheless breached the non-compete agreement during the term, and that he therefore should have to pay damages and attorney's fees. But if it is not enforceable here, and I see that my time has expired, may I just finish the answer real quickly? If Hatfield becomes subject to a judgment in Florida, that will follow him around forever. But it is a judgment and a conclusion that would not be enforceable against him here, but one that they get by default by trying to invoke the foreign court. As I said earlier, the choice of forum provision in this case is essentially a choice of law provision, because if he's forced to litigate there, Florida law will apply.
But I guess what I'm saying is, if that's the case, doesn't it satisfy Texas's concerns that it can't be enforced in Texas? And if it can be enforced anywhere else, it's really not a matter of Texas policy anymore.
No, the answer is no, because of what DeSantis says. DeSantis talks about one of the competing interests being the interest of a Texas citizen to leave employment in Texas and move to a new business or a new competitor, which is what Hatfield wanted to do. If a company
in Texas, but a judgment in Florida is not going to impede him from moving from employer to employer in Texas.
Absolutely it will. The threat of being subjected to a judgment in a foreign state, the threat of being subjected to injunction or contempt in a foreign state is enough, and was in this case, to convince him not to compete. And that hurt the new competitor, which wanted to employ him, and it hurt Hatfield, which wanted to go be employed there. And if this were an enforceable contract, non-compete-wise, then there wouldn't be an issue here. I mean, we wouldn't be litigating the issue. But we looked at the law, we looked at the contract, we don't think that this is enforceable. The trial court reached a preliminary conclusion when granting the temporary injunction that it was likely unenforceable here. And the threat is that just by having the ability to go to that other state, it will stymie the competition here in Texas.
Other questions?
Thank you.
Have to look at tab 2A of the relator's record to see that this whole case, Hatfield's position, and more importantly, the respondent's order, is based on what he, the respondent, believed would happen in Florida. Florida will likely apply a legal standard contrary to the public policy of this state and set out more specifically in DeSantis. This is in the order. According to the case law, Florida appears interested only in whether the party's choice of forum, et cetera, et cetera. That's in the injunction order. That was the basis of, I believe, the decision solely upon what is going to happen in Florida. Now, this court in Lawrence versus CDB Services said that freedom to contract, as Justice Brisher mentioned, is a strong and is a paramount public policy. And we have sophisticated business executive.
What if they're not sophisticated?
Then,
does it matter?
I don't think it depends. An unequal bargaining position is a U.S. Supreme Court exception or issue.
And
yeah,
that's
consider that.
Paired very well here, hey?
Pardon?
No.
Okay. Well,
we haven't found unequal bargaining to preclude many contracts.
No. And this court, we have found no Texas case, Your Honors, not enforcing a form selection clause based upon public policy exception. And as I mentioned earlier, there are just a handful across the country. And that's because the courts are going to let parties contract and let the contract be carried out. Substantial consideration has been received.
Can you tell us again why DeSantis does not stand in the way of your argument? What are the two or three points?
DeSantis addressed choice of law, Your Honor. And the policy issues, the considerations for determining choice of law that a Texas court should apply to a dispute in Texas are markedly different than the policies addressing enforceability of form selection clauses, which this court has held are mandatory, absent a very strong showing with a heavy burden that it's unreasonable or unjust. So DeSantis never addressed that. There was not a first filed suit, so there's no issue of comity, of dominant jurisdiction, of looking at that. There was no issue getting into the freedom of the contract. I don't believe that was raised there. It was whether a Texas court should apply Texas law. That is different here. And what their position is advocating, again, is to look and get some briefing and find out if the trial court, can determine with some certainty enough to not abuse his discretion as to what the outcome would be. That's dangerous, and that adversely affects our federal system of laws.
AutoNation is here on an original proceeding.
Yes, Your Honor.
AutoNation also filed an accelerated interlocutory appeal and had a decision from the 14th Court of Appeals. What's the status of that? And then explain, I know you don't have a lot of time left, why there's no adequate remedy by appeal if there's an accelerated interlocutory appeal process that AutoNation has availed itself of.
The decision of the Court of Appeals was not reviewed in this court. Not sought. We did not seek review in this court. We did file a motion for rehearing, en banc rehearing and reconsideration, which was denied after about nearly 3 months of consideration. So that interlocutory appeal is dead, if you will, or it's final, I should say. Now, the reason why we have no adequate remedy by appeal, first of all, as this court well knows, Chapter 51 of the Remedies Code is very specific about what orders you can appeal interlocutorily. A motion to dismiss on form selection clause is not one of them. In the brief, the relief that we saw, that we had won in the Court of Appeals, the result would be the anti-suit injunction would have been reversed. And the result would be still two lawsuits. That's the only relief. That's all the relief that we asked for and all the relief that we could ask for. And having two lawsuits, when there's a form selection clause, this court held in AIU, is clear harassment, where you have to go through the expense and time, waste of judicial resources, on a case that will automatically be reversed, is no remedy by appeal. So the reason why we don't have a remedy by appeal, interlocutory appeal, is because the order of dismissal was not reviewable there. And even if we won, we would still have a situation that this court has held is not adequate. See, my time is up.
Any further questions?